welcome to Think, Laugh, Cry, And. We're your hosts, Tom Parker.
And James Clubs. We have been friends for over 12 years, and we chat about many of life's adventures. At Think, Laugh, Cry, And, we tell those stories that you may not necessarily hear on television or radio news programs.
These are real stories that James and I will present and discuss. The stories will make you think, laugh, cry, and whatever other expressions may arise inside you.
What's cool is, aside from this podcast, you can follow us on the Twitter at Think, Laugh, Cry, And 1. That's the number one. On Facebook at facebook.com/thinklaughcryand, as well as our website, thinklaughcryand.wordpress.com.
And we're also now on iTunes, so you can go on iTunes and have them show up right into your listening device. Just look for the big blue sky with the words Think, Laugh, Cry, And on it. You can also email us at thinklaughcryand@gmail.com if you have any stories or any feedback. Now, the last podcast we did, I forgot to give the answer to the quiz. So before we start chatting here, I want to give the answer to the quiz. The question was, what planet in our solar system has the longest day?
I'm going to guess Neptune. Oh, that's not a planet anymore.
No, Pluto's not a planet anymore.
Oh, Neptune then.
No, it's Venus. It says 243 Earth days.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's a lot.
Aren't women from Venus?
Yeah, men are from Mars.
Mars, yeah.
Yeah, so Venus, 243 Earth days. So their one day is equivalent to 243 Earth days.
That is insane.
Imagine if you lived on Venus. I mean, what would your work day be like? It would work like, what, 125 days in a row?
No, the unions would probably be on top of that.
Yeah. So that's vacation would be great, though.
Exactly.
So how are you?
Good. Gearing up. So by the time this is released, we will have been a week into school plus, yeah. And Labor Day will have passed. Mm-hmm. But ready for school.
Yeah. We're getting ready. Kids are coming back soon. So really, well, they will have already been back. But yeah, getting excited for the kids to come back and hanging out with them and going back to being a kid again instead of an adult.
Exactly. So. It does kind of re-energize.
Yeah, it's always fun to hang around with the kids and hear about their summer and just goof around with them.
Yeah, other than that, nice weather. It's been nice around here.
Last couple days. Low humidity. Yeah. I guess that's going all around, at least here in the upstate, up above us, the states above us. You know, I went to the grocery store the other day, and I bought some snacks. And they have sunflowers that you can buy, obviously, right? You can, but it used to be just, like, basic. And now they come in, like, ranch, barbecue, and I think there was a spicy one.
I know they have bacon flavor too.
Oh, I didn't see that. Yeah. Bacon flavor sunflower seeds. Wow.
Yep.
Yeah. You know what'd be cool is, now I don't know, but do you know? I didn't see this, but you can buy just the seed itself instead of the inside.
Kernel, the kernel area. Yeah, that thing. Get rid of the shell. Yeah.
You can do that with pistachios too. I love pistachios, but
I used to buy the sunflower seeds just the kernel because I was too lazy to kind of nibble through the shell and stuff like that.
Really? Yeah. I didn't know they had those. Yeah. Well, I think they're probably more expensive, aren't they?
They are more expensive.
Because I see pistachios and they have the shell ones in the shell and then the ones without. I would love to just get the ones without. Exactly. They're so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was surprised to see that sunflower seeds were with different varieties and things now.
Yeah. How are you doing?
Doing well. Just, enjoying the last few days of our break, and then we start school, have work four, then have a long weekend, then work four, and then have a long weekend, 3-day weekend. Or is that 3-day weekend? No, it's just a regular weekend.
Yes,
because we'll be coming off a long weekend. So other than that, doing well. School year's starting around the corner. Busy. It's funny how the beginning of the school year and the end of the school year are like the same.
I know,
shoving so much into a short amount of period of time, and things aren't really spread out too far throughout the school year. But
I just love this time of year when we go back to school. September, yeah. October, November, December.
Yeah, it's just fall is around the corner. Winter's coming.
Yeah, it's refreshing.
Yeah, fresh air, and then the holidays.
I mean, not that the rest of school year has its positives, but it's a longer
longer stretches.
Yeah, it's a longer stretch.
Yeah, yeah,
it's a longer stretch.
Especially that January to spring break time.
Yeah.
So anyway, my first story is called 10 Most Important Things a Father Learned Since Losing His Son.
Mm.
So
it's heavy.
Yeah, it's very good. And we'll get to the point at the end why I saw the story and why I want to talk about it. So it has been a little over 1 year since Richard Pringle said goodbye to his beautiful little boy, Hughie. Okay, the 3-year-old from Hastings, East Essex, which I believe is in England, died suddenly following a brain hemorrhage on August 18th last year, turning his family's world upside down. He had a brain condition that was doing so well, said Richard, and that there was only a 5% chance of a bleed, but unfortunately that 5% chance happened last year and he didn't survive. Just a 5%, and you think everything's going well. Oh, he's only got a 5%. And then all of a sudden it happens.
Wow.
So, yeah, there's pictures of Hughie, you know, pictures show Hughie being a happy little boy laughing with his dad and clutching a bag of sweets, and what was once a snapshot of a normal life is now just a precious memory for Richard Treasure. He was soft, gentle, caring, and so lovable, Richard said. He made the boring things fun. He made everything fun. In 3 short years, he left us with a lifetime of the most incredible memories. Reflecting on the loss 1 year from Hughie's death, Richard said, Richard has 2 other children, and he has written down the most important lessons the tragedy has taught him and hope that other parents will take their children not for granted. So he wanted to share these. I'm going to share these with everyone too. So these are his words in full. So he says he might want to grab a tissue. Depends on how much these, you know, move inside your body. I know I'm like I watch movies and there'd be some, I'm doing fine. All of a sudden there's something like, my eyes are all filled up with water and stuff.
It's kind of funny as you get older. I think it happens more. Like you're paying more attention. A song will come on. You see something on the road or whatever else.
Right.
Know?
Right.
Yeah. Same way.
So number one, you can never ever kiss and love too much. Number two, you always have time. Stop what you're doing and play, even if it's just for a minute. Nothing is that important that it can't wait. Take as many photos and records, take as many photos and record as many videos as humanly possible. One day that might be all you have. Don't spend money, spend time. You think what you spend matters? It doesn't. What you do matters. Jump in puddles, go for walks, swim in the sea, build a camp and have fun. That's all they want. I can't remember what we bought Hughie, but I can only remember what we did. Sing songs together. My happiest memories are of Hughie sitting on my shoulders or sitting next to me in the car singing our favorite songs. Memories are created in music. Cherish the simplest of things. Nighttimes, bedtimes, reading stories, dinners together, lazy Sundays. Cherish the simplest of times. They are what I miss the most. Don't let those special times pass you by unnoticed. Number 7. Always kiss those you love goodbye, and if you forget, go back and kiss them. You never know if it's the last time you'll get that chance. I like that one. Make boring things fun. Shopping trips, car journeys, walking to the shops. Be silly, tell jokes, laugh, smile, and enjoy yourselves. They are only chores if you treat them like that. Life is too short not to have fun. Number 9. Keep a journal. Write down everything your little one does that lights up your world. The funny things they say, the cute things they do. We only started doing this after we lost Hughie. We wanted to remember everything. Now we do it for Hetty, and we will do it for Henny too. His 2 other children. You'll have those memories written down forever, and when you're older and you can look back and cherish every moment. Also cute to share them with their children as they get older.
Exactly.
Too. Especially when they get married. Number 10. If you have your children with you, kiss them goodnight. Have them enjoy breakfast with them. To walk to school. Go to the university. Watch them get married. You are blessed. Never forget that. After listening to this podcast, please share it with a parent or a friend that you know. Maybe you're looking from the outside in and you think they need a reminder because you may see them being very busy. So send this podcast to them, and so hopefully they'll listen to at least the beginning of it, and they'll hear this, and it may stop them for a moment and think, you know what, I need to stop being so busy. Work is not that important. Money makes the world go round, but you know, it's not that important. You'll get by with a little less. Somebody once told me, you know, that she said that she never thought once, like, I should work more. Right. I should work more. I need to spend more time with my child and doing things with my family, which is a very important thing.
A great set of lessons by the gentleman. And
yeah,
you know, I did. The story reminded me of my sister and her husband when they lost their child at 2.5 years old a number of years ago, and how heart-wrenching, obviously, that is. How devastating, right, it is. The loss will never, you know, ever go away, as much as I'm sure it will never go away for him and his family. But he is taking this and turning it into a positive, saying this is the way life should be.
Right. And I expand on this on the story, not to take away from what, you know, he lost or what anybody loses when they lose a child. You should do this with friends as well, family and friends, you know, people you care about, people that care about you, because, you know, tomorrow's not guaranteed.
Right. So. Just, you know, send them that quick note or text or give them a quick call or whatever else.
Yep. Or send this podcast to them.
It's so, if you're on Facebook with them. Yeah, it's a positive. It's trying to be more positive and affect people in different ways.
Right.
Well, I have kind of a similar unfortunate story, but I think that turns into a positive message. I call this one a stranger's message.
Mm-hmm.
A distraught woman on a flight home. Oh, first of all, I apologize because this has a few letters in it.
Okay.
Like literally written letters by a couple of people. So it's okay. I'm going to read it direct.
I thought it was like letters you couldn't say. Like you can't say the letter.
No.
This is America. We can't say the letter Q anymore.
Yeah, right.
Hey, somebody just got buzzed in downstairs. Yeah, you hear that?
Exactly.
I wonder who that'll be. Oh, you know what?
It's guest.
It's the next people who are going to use the studio.
Probably. Exactly. Exactly.
They're here a little early.
So a distraught woman on a flight home to bury her son received a note on a napkin from a stranger that is touching the hearts of many. Trisha Bastra shared this touching story on Facebook and hopes that that message will get back to the young man who had written her the note on the napkin. This is what Trisha said. I couldn't tell you the story until now. I flew in on a Southwest Airlines flight 1076 on August 18th. I was not looking or feeling good. I sat in my seat between two strangers, holding a barf bag down below my legs. One of the flight attendants looked at me and asked if I was okay. I asked for some water, and another person brought it to me. Then, this young man came by. I wish I could have gotten his name. He was getting drink requests. I asked him for a Diet Coke and another glass of water. He leaned in and asked if I was okay. I told him I was flying back to bury my son. He said he was so sorry and brought me a can of water, a glass of ice, and my Diet Coke. The girl next to me offered to pour the water for me because she saw my hands were shaking. When we landed, the girl who waited on me was standing on the landing, and as I walked off the plane, another one had stopped me and handed me a napkin and said he was sorry for my loss, and this wasn't much. The napkin probably wasn't much.
Yeah.
You know. I said thank you and walked out. When I got to where I was off the walkway, I looked at the napkin he gave me, read it, and cried. When I got to my destination, I had a priest, Father Mike, bless him, and he said he was one of God's soul angels. This is the letter. This is an amazing letter. Forgive me, because the letter literally is the picture of the letter, so.
You want my glasses?
And I should have bought mine. Glasses. In 2004, my family lost my older brother. As traumatic as it is still for me, I can't even pretend to truly know the pain you feel as a mother. I did, however, watch my mother's grieving process, a process that will never end. Firstly, being a mother is about giving birth to a new life as a promise to the future. Your mission doesn't end now. Your son's life is bigger than his death, and he will always be. My mom struggled desperately for as far away having a goal to somehow lessen any pain that she had. As she has realized now, the pain hardly lessens. Don't expend your energy trying to chase this. Instead, go all out, finding opportunities to experience joy. Visit family, get closer to those you've lost touch with, travel. This is your story, and you owe it to yourself and your son to make sure that you survive this. Do not put pressure on yourself. This world is full of people who do truly care about you, even if it doesn't feel that way. I won't. Stop thinking about you. I won't stop thinking about you anytime soon, or how you're doing, or what you're up to. You'll come out of this stronger, a stronger person, and I'll be rooting for you the whole time.
Oh, please. Aw. That is great.
So, yes.
And who was that letter again to?
That was a letter to a mother on a Southwest Airlines flight who was about to bury her son. It doesn't say why she was burying her son.
Right.
And she just simply received this handwritten note on a napkin. And
oh, wow.
Yeah, okay. it's amazing. I know people can't see this, but...
Hey, everybody, look at this.
I know. I'm showing Tom the letter.
Yeah.
If you want to look up the story actually says on Facebook, there's a area, I guess, on Facebook where you can, like, read this story. Mm-hmm. It says, it's called the Facebook page, Love What Matters.
Okay.
So I guess it's a page on Facebook that you can share your stories.
Okay, neat. That's the cool thing. One of the cool things about Facebook, it's just not, which I thought it was just about people keeping up with each other and people taking pictures of their food and say, look what I ate today, you know, or
how much work stinks.
People who need attention. Yeah, yeah. But that's a great story, and that's also great to help. I mean, you're never going to get over it, but to help, you know, move on a little quicker.
Yeah, and this guy hardly
out of that doldrums.
He didn't know her. He just simply saw that she was suffering there. I mean, let alone him with this fantastic note. The other attendant who was helping her with other needs,
mm-hmm.
the strangers right next to her helping her pour the soda,
you know,
all of those things. Just people just came together, saw that she was suffering. So, you know, it doesn't take much.
Yeah, well, we've done several stories where, or at least you have, about people coming together and helping each other out. That's what the world needs.
Well, she does ask to share this story. Again, her name is Trisha Belstra, Belstra. And that way, hopefully, you can reach this person.
Yeah.
So
can you give that site out again one more time on Facebook? Sorry.
Yeah, it is, as I'm flipping back over, the site on Facebook is Love What Matters. Again, her name is Trisha Belstra, Love What Matters.
Because even if you don't post something or even share it, you can, if you've gone through something in your life, sometimes just reading what other people go through helps uplift you.
Absolutely.
And you're not alone.
Just like hopefully this podcast does.
Yeah, yeah. Well, before I get on my next story, I have the quiz, okay? The quiz for this time. I will remember to, hopefully at the end, to
Venus.
Give the answer, yeah. In what year was the blue M&M first introduced?
Ooh, that's interesting.
In what year was the blue M&M introduced to the M&M world? I love M&Ms.
Oh, I love M&Ms.
I love the peanut M&Ms.
So do I.
The plains are fine. They're just
good.
They're definitely a step below the peanut M&Ms.
I totally agree.
So we're gonna change. Think, laugh, cry. We're into the laugh section, I believe. So I read this story and I just burst out laughing. This story is titled Got Milk, and it's a short one, but stay with me. Remember the milkman? This is not him, okay? Two Kentucky men, which, you know, separate from Florida, but you know what?
Could be similar in story.
You know, things happen everywhere.
Let's not insult some of our audience members.
Yeah, right.
My family might be listening to Tennessee.
Well, I didn't say Tennessee. Two Kentucky men were arrested on Saturday, 3 days after one filmed the other running naked through a Walmart.
Okay.
And pouring milk on his head, screaming, "I'm on fire! I'm on fire!" Footage of the incident shows an individual wearing nothing but socks, shoes, and what is described in news outlets as a Halloween mask. David Daniels of Belfry and Timothy Smith of Phelps allegedly pulled the prank on Wednesday at the Walmart in South Williamson. The county sheriff believes that the men are guilty of indecent exposure. What, really?
You think?
Well, one of them should be guilty of it, unless the other one was naked, too.
Thanks, Sergeant. Yeah. Obvious.
He goes, I wouldn't want to go into Walmart and see anybody walk around naked or running around naked, so they need to go to jail. No word on whether the suspect stopped off for cookies before fleeing the scene.
They don't need to go to jail.
I would probably just lose it if I was in a store and a naked person was running past me and ran and got the milk and just started pouring it on themselves. I'm on fire, I'm on fire.
Well, first I would think, is this guy on drugs?
Yeah,
who knows? On drugs?
Well, like our last podcast with the naked man who's running down the street,
exactly.
The bank robber. He wasn't on drugs. That was his beginning of his life of comedy,
right?
Which is started in jail, but
yeah, it begins and ends quick.
Yeah, but I just running through a store naked.
But do you think they deserve jail?
Yeah, well, to discourage this from happening again. I mean, what if they don't go to jail, what are they going to do next?
Fine them heavily. Just, I mean, present them a fine and probation.
Right. That's the probation's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, probation's a good thing. Yeah. They probably went to jail just because that's where they had to hold them till they had to.
Oh, sure.
So I don't know. They did go to jail because that's where you hold everybody.
But you just got to wonder if they're going to be sentenced to a longer term.
Yeah, I don't know what the law is in Kentucky. It might be really, I guess it's not as lax as I thought it would be.
Well, I guess I'd have to cross that off my bucket list.
Just running through the store naked and pouring milk out of yourself. I'm on fire.
It's funny because I was watching the show Drugs, Inc. It's on Nat Geo. Uh-huh. And no, they're not paying me for that message. And these guys are on PCP, et cetera, et cetera. And the stuff that people do on PCP, you know, they think they might be on fire. It becomes like such a hallucinogen.
Yeah, you have no control of your brain.
None. And there was this one scene where this guy thought another set of people were talking about him, which they weren't.
Uh-huh.
And he started to go after them with a knife. And the cops had to take him down. And they kept shooting. Guy wouldn't go down because he was just
right.
So
he was
hopped
so high
up.
Yeah, he couldn't feel it.
No,
he couldn't feel the pain. Or the
but blood. It's just, I mean, it's a terrible tragedy. I mean, these guys are pulling a prank.
Yeah,
you know, and obviously other people are hallucinating and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It just reminded me of that too.
Well, I know some people who aren't on PCP and they lose their mind, but I can't. You may not be able to tell the difference.
Do you want to talk about it?
No, I'm not.
Oh, sorry.
That's not me.
Oh, sorry.
Maybe a few times in my life I have been. At least twice, I know of.
Yeah, I understand.
Once for you, right?
Yes, indeed. Well, my next story is called Reunited.
Uh-huh.
I love this story. It's a short story, but it's very touching. A homeless man was seen sleeping outside of an animal shelter in hopes of finding his missing dog.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Jarvis Smith, who worked at the DeKalb County Animal Services in Chamblee, Georgia, found the homeless man sleeping just outside the center. And he woke him up. After speaking with him for a little while, Smith learned that he had spent the little money that he already had on a bus ride to come to the shelter in hopes of finding his missing dog.
Uh-huh.
He was waiting for them to open and see if they had her. And they did. But the pup, unfortunately, wasn't at that particular facility. It was at another facility in another county. Jarvis Smith, the guy who worked at that county shelter, then paid for the man's train ticket to get him to that other location, to get to his dog, whose name is Tata. The shelter was so moved.
A small dog or a big dog?
He didn't show the picture of it. Yeah, they were just more concerned about this story.
I don't know what size Tata was. So.
The shelter was so moved by the touching reunion that they waived all the fees for the dog. And also, the homeless man was reunited with his
dog. That's
could you imagine? I mean, that's family to him, obviously.
Oh, yeah. You see posters of, you know, missing cat, missing dog, things like that. Missing cat, not so much, but missing dog, yeah. We've gone over this before. We're not big cat fans. But,
exactly.
I mean, we had a cat when I was... We had two cats when I was younger, but I'm just not a fan of cats.
Yeah.
And plus, I'm allergic to them.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, that's a good touching story. So we've covered the maybe if, well, it depends on our listeners. Maybe the cry part, and also the think part,
the laugh part.
We're gonna go back to we don't have this on we don't have the WTF section of our podcast.
Why the face?
Yeah, so we may have to add that. So this is entitled Coffin, not coffee or cough.
So coffin like burying somebody.
Yeah, coffin. Okay. Coffin breaks.
Oh.
An 800-year-old coffin smashed to the floor in a UK museum last week after someone reportedly tried to put a child inside it for a photo op. I saw the picture of the coffin. What it is, it's sitting in this middle, on this like table type thing, okay? And then on the outside of it, it's protected by glass, but the glass only is... It's not that
only
far.
So high.
It's only so high, but it's also not that far away from the coffin.
Okay.
And I think this goes at an angle, so you know, so it's you'd have to really reach over to put, you know, to get in there. And the coffin is slightly above. I mean, the glass is slightly above.
But
the
what
coffin.
Idiots would have the photo op for that? Okay, anyway,
they tried. Yeah, the sandstone relic was on display at the Prittlewell Priory Museum when someone knocked it over by lifting a child over a protective barrier, in the, yeah. So it's just So yeah, so they try to lift the child over the barrier, which is, you know, like I said, it's at an angle and it's not, doesn't look like it's that hard to do, but you'd have to be, I think you'd have to be pretty tall with long arms to even think you would be able to do that. Instead of reporting the damage or taking responsibility for the surveillance for what happened, the surveillance video captured the culprits fleeing, leaving the toppled coffin with a deep crack in a large triangle shaped piece missing from inside the middle of it. So here you have something, an 800-year-old coffin in a museum, okay? Obviously, this is, you know, maybe a once-in-a-lifetime find. And some idiot decides to try to put their child in the middle of it to take a picture. What the?
Now, did they run away without the child? Did they leave the child?
No, they took the child and they ran away. But
wait, how irresponsible on so many different levels.
That's you know, we see that a lot with young people these days. I don't know how old these people were, but just when I read this, I was like, this is so dumb. Not to stay and say, you know, I'm sorry, I did this, you know, can I pay for it, blah blah blah. Nothing. They just ran away.
They just don't want to accept responsibility. I hope they catch them.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
You know, every place has video cameras now. There must have not been anybody around in order for the, you know, for them. I wouldn't even, first of all, I wouldn't think about doing this, but even if I did, make sure nobody was around.
Right.
To be clear, the coffin has always been in three pieces, though. Michael Sargard, spokesman for the council, says the crack in the center of the piece missing on the left of the photo, which you have to go online and look, has always been there since it has been displayed. The new damage is to the right center. So there's so something that was already broken, and they, you know, they made it look like it was what it would look like it was together at one point, is now in worse condition. So the care of our collections is of a paramount importance to us, and this isolated incident has been upsetting for the museum service people and staff who strive to protect the heritage within the historic sites. The responsible for repairing the sarcophagus. There I go. I spit it out. I had my coffee this morning.
There you go. In your coffin.
Yeah. I was coughing too much. So that's going to fall on the, you know, the museum to fix it. But the coffin was found basically at the priory site of where the museum is, back in 1921. So inside it held a skeleton that may have once been a senior monk, according to the BBC. So an 800-year-old coffin had a, you know, there's a body in it and they don't know who it was or whatever. But even though, so those remains are even, you know, a relic, obviously, but they found in 1921. So it lasted. It lasted a long time until somebody had the bright idea to. That's how, you know. That's the thing. I can't imagine anybody even. Of course, you don't know, but times have changed so much. You know, back in 1921, probably like, oh wow, look at that glove. That's awesome. And so nobody would even think about.
I bet you they didn't even have to put glass around it.
Probably, yeah. Something happened.
You know what I mean?
Something happened. Sometime.
It's a lack of respect.
Yeah.
It's just a tremendous lack of respect for the history, for the person that was in there, you know, and everything else.
Yeah, so that's just a stupid moment. And obviously, it's not going to go anywhere. It's still there. Now they have to try to fix it and make it look more of like it. I mean, because if you go to the museum, you want to see, well, you have, say you have a piece of it, and you say, well, I don't really have an idea what a whole thing looked like. And they have it all there, but it's all kind of in pieces and even more pieces now. So anyway, it's just, I thought it was extremely
stupid. Hope they catch them.
Yeah, well, hopefully they do, and they pay for it too.
Exactly.
So. So it's now it's time for sayings and where they come from. I have two. The first one is wear your heart on your sleeve. Okay, so in the Middle Ages, knights who fought at tournaments wore a token of their lady on their sleeve. Today, if you make your feelings obvious to someone, you wear your heart on your sleeve.
That's really cool. It's kind of like kind of the lore. I mean, it's like a scarf or handkerchief that they would wrap around.
Exactly.
And, you know,
exactly.
With, embroidered with the family crest or something meaningful.
So they would wear that.
That's great.
Yeah. Wash my hands of it. So wash my hands of it. The Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, refused to be involved in the death of an innocent person.
Jesus.
Oh, see, that should have been a quiz. You might know one. So he washed his hands in front of the crowd, symbolically disassociating himself from the execution.
Mm-hmm.
Hence, he's washing his hands of what is happening. So I guess that's where it started. Washing your hands of a situation. Wash your hands and you're done with it.
Right.
I thought that was pretty neat.
I wash my hands of a lot of stuff. I wash my hands often.
Your hands are the cleanest hands in the world.
Yeah. But it's washing because of the petri dishes and germs.
Right. And we won't go into it. Who gets more sick, you or me, during the school year?
It all depends, mentally or physically.
I'm just going on physically.
I do.
Okay. And then, you know, and plus I have kids that are 3-year-olds. Excuse me. 3-year-olds all the way up to potentially 15. 15-year-old ones are good. They don't have snot running down their noses anymore. But the younger ones, yes. Coughing. And, oh, it's just horrible. Oh,
that was a good imitation. I'll be honest with you. I need to wash my hands.
Yeah. I mean, we haven't seen a kid, a little kid like that, sneeze, and all of a sudden all this green stuff comes out of their nose, and they just sit there and go, nah, we need to get you a tissue.
He just, like, looks, yeah, stares at you, and you're so cute.
Yeah, or his tongue smile goes up, and goes, like, he's, I'm like, what are you doing?
He's feeling it with his tongue.
I mean, they're just kids, but it is so funny and disgusting to watch.
I wash my hands of that.
Yes, that's why you stay with the older kids.
Exactly.
All right. Your turn there, Chief.
All right, where did it come from? This is about life once again, so I'm kind of continuing that theme. So this is not particularly from the different perspective, but these are from people that may have made this or did make this famous. This one is from Chief Seneca, a famous chief long ago. Not how long, but how well you have lived is the main thing. Not how long, but how well you have lived is the main thing.
That's great.
Henry David Thoreau says, go confidently in the direction of your dreams. Live the life you've imagined. And then finally, Dr. Seuss. I love this. I had to bring this in for our Montessori friends.
Give them a plug.
You have brains in your head. You have feet in your shoes. You can steer yourself any direction you choose.
Those are all great.
Makes sense.
Those are awesome.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I like those. Thank you. So here is time for the weird facts that are strange but true. And as I mentioned before, I'm thinking about changing this section from weird to just dropping the weird, because that's how it started out. It had a lot of weird facts.
But you know, you've been wanting to change it for a little while now. I think you should.
Well, I mentioned it, but now I just think, guys, you think we should do that? Producers are.
I don't know. I think it's a good idea.
Producers are putting their thumbs up.
So all smoking cigarettes behind the glass.
Better behind the glass than here. So I think I'm going to change this from facts that are maybe strange but are true. Not so weird. This one is bullying facts. Okay.
Bullying?
So, yeah, bullying.
Oh, bullying.
Bullying. Not like bull riding, but bullying. Like, I'm going to pick on you later.
Okay.
You
know, okay. Bullying.
Orioles are not going to make it to the playoffs. That in there. Number one. Okay. I have six because there were so many, and I was like, I normally do three, but I could have gone on longer. All right. Bullying. Number one, bullying, child abuse, and stress causes children to age faster at a cellular level and leads to mental and physical health problems even decades later, including premature death.
Wow. That's a heck of a study.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there must have been like six pages things on this, facts.
Could you imagine being part of that control group?
No, thanks.
Yeah.
Only 58% of American schools have anti-bullying programs and policies.
What?
Only 58%. I thought that was low, but also you figure this is a huge country. There's schools everywhere.
Right.
There's elementary, there's middle, and there's high school. So actually, when I got thinking about it, and there's also a lot of rural schools out in the country and things like that. So, you know, 58% is probably not too far off from what it's supposed to be.
I'm surprised it's not federally mandated.
Yeah, every state has bullying guidelines and things like that. Like, I forgot what state it was. There was one state thing. I don't remember what it was, but it was not too long ago that they finally passed. And it was the last state in the union to pass anti-bullying things. Only 54% of teachers receive anti-bullying training.
Wow.
Number four, more parents are allowing their children to undergo plastic surgery to tackle bullying. That is so sad.
Oh, my gosh. Rather than tackling the source, you're altering.
Right. So they feel like maybe they have, and it's not changing. So they want, again, they may want a quick fix.
Mm.
So
I've tried this step. Now we got to try that step.
Right.
Wow.
I don't know if that's just California or just they're all over the country. But number five, obesity is linked to bullying. Overweight and obese children are more likely to be bullied. And that's an easy target, unfortunately.
Absolutely.
You pick on the weak, you know, not to say that all heavy set children
are perception,
weak.
The perception. That's the perception. They're, yeah. They look different. We're going to pick on that.
Yeah. And number six, last one, nearly 160,000 students skip school every day to avoid bullying.
Oh, wow.
160,000.
Wow.
That's a lot. I mean, it's not a lot considering, you know, how many schools in the country, sure, and how many kids go to school. But
still,
I mean, even if it was, you know, 10,
yeah,
it'd be a lot, or one. But 160,000, that's a lot.
Well, making more aware, I appreciate those facts, making people more, yeah, aware of exactly, yeah, what's happening is very important, especially the other stories that we've linked, mm-hmm, with the unfortunate consequences that bullying has had.
Excuse me, yes.
So, well, I have the section, history that makes you go, This is the weather edition. Obviously, we have severe weather, the hurricane that's going on in Texas, and our prayers are, yep, obviously with everyone down there. So I thought to myself, you know, in history, I've studied that weather has impacted historical events. So I just thought I'd bring up a couple of them that I found to be interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. A spell of cold weather may have sparked the infamous Salem witch trials in 1692, as witches were thought capable of controlling weather, researchers all suggest. Torture seems to have touched villages whenever the cold did. The most active period of witchcraft trials in Europe coincided with a 400-year span of lower-than-average temperatures scientists have dubbed the Little Ice Age.
Uh-huh.
The Salem witch trials in the U.S. fell within an extreme cold period that lasted from 1680 to 1730. U.S. researchers believe that the link between history's cold periods and witch hunts may have occurred because people sought out scapegoats to blame for crop failures and the general economic hardships that followed during those times. From 1730 on, the climate has become more stable, and so did the general mood.
Wow.
Pretty weird, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Neato.
1941, Adolf Hitler, who apparently wasn't much of a history buff, decided to attack Moscow as part of one of the largest invasions of warfare. However, just as Napoleon failed at his plan to capture Moscow in 1812, Hitler ended up making the same mistake, underestimating the power of climate as a military weapon. Before the campaign, the German army was so confident that it could defeat Joseph Stalin's troops that several units brought their dress uniforms along for the victory march in Red Square. Mm. What they failed to bring along, however, was winter clothes.
Yeah.
The winter was the coldest one Russia had experienced in 140 years.
Good timing for Russia.
Frostbite was rampant, and German equipment couldn't handle the temperatures. Oil froze in German tank engines, packing grease and artillery seized up the firing mechanisms, and even soup ladled out of boiling pots was known to freeze in minutes.
Wow.
Hitler's defeats in the Soviet Union, outside of Moscow and Stalingrad, became an important turning point in the war. As a matter of fact, during Napoleon's invasion and Hitler's invasion, the Russian army before Napoleon, right, and the Soviet army during Hitler, they would actually retreat, drawing soldiers in.
Drawing them into the country. Smart.
They would burn their crops, their own crops.
Wow.
They would kill the livestock so that the other army couldn't use it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. That's very strategic.
Yeah, exactly.
So before I get to the poem, I want to give the answer this time.
Yes, please.
On the next podcast. Yes. Answer to the quiz. In what year was the blue M&M first introduced?
I'm going to go with the Back to the Future time-space continuum popular answer.
A flux capacitor.
1955.
Wrong.
Was I close?
1995.
Oops.
Yep, 19. You were close.
40 years off.
Yeah. Well, you're in the top 50.
Yeah. 1995. Yeah, wow, that's interesting. Not that interesting. Long ago.
Yeah. Huh. I do remember them introducing the blue one. But so what are the original? Like yellow?
I would assume yellow, red, green.
Yellow, red, green, brown.
Yeah.
So yellow, red, green, brown. Was that it?
I could imagine. Well, you know the commercials, right?
Yeah.
They have the yellow and red guy.
Uh-huh.
I bet you those were the two original.
Yeah.
Because those are the spokespeople, and I would assume that they match the history with it.
Right.
Then you see the green woman. Is there ever a brown one on the commercial?
Yeah.
So, you know,
I would think brown would be original.
Yeah, I would. That's a good point.
Just because it's, I don't know how long M&M's have been
Well, it's chocolate in the middle, too.
Right.
So, that's really interesting. 1995. I wonder if the blue one came about because Bill Clinton was president.
True. Good point. Okay, so here's my poem, okay? It's entitled A Soldier by Breonna C. He says he's leaving. He'll be gone about a year. He's headed off to fight the war, and his time is drawing near. I have no words of wisdom to ease our aching hearts. He'll be gone and I'll be here, 1,000 miles apart. The danger that soldiers face, he knows it all too well. Still, he keeps our spirits up as our throats begin to swell. The morning comes all too fast. I'm not prepared at all, because I know there is a chance my soldier won't come home. My soldier is a strong man, one that's brave and true. He's not afraid of dying. He fights for me and you. So if you see a soldier, give him lots of praise. Tell him that you're thankful. You see the price we pay.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. I love that. Yeah. That is a fantastic poem.
Yep. Then that was a wife who wrote that. About her husband.
That's great. There's really no other words to describe that, but fantastic.
Yep.
Well, my poem is kind of, again, with that theme of life. I've just kind of been on this for a little while. It's called The Paradoxical Commandments. Mm-hmm. It's by Kent M. Keith. I like that name, Kent Keith.
Kent Keith.
Yeah, if his middle name had a K, too. Okay. No, never mind. The Paradoxical Commandments. People are illogical, unreasonable, and self-centered. Love them anyway. If you do good, people will accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Do good anyway. If you are successful, you will win false friends and true enemies. Succeed anyway. The good you do today will be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyway. Honesty and frankness make you vulnerable. Be honest and frank anyway. The biggest men and women with the biggest ideas can be shot down by the smallest men and women with the smallest minds. Think big anyway. People favor underdogs, but follow only top dogs. Fight for a few underdogs anyway. What you spend years building may be destroyed overnight. Build anyway. People really need help, but may attack you if you do help them. Help people anyway. And finally, give the world the best you have, and you'll be kicked in the teeth. Give the world the best you have, anyway.
That's awesome. Very, very good. That's great. Yeah, give it your best. Ain't no chance if you don't take one.
Exactly.
So, to end our show, you can follow us on Twitter at ThinkLaughCryAnd1. And you can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/ThinkLaughCryAnd. And you can find us on our website at thinklaughcryand.wordpress.com. And we're also on iTunes now, so please check us out and subscribe. It's free, so please do that. And you can also email us your thoughts and everything with that and stories at thinklaughcryand@gmail.com. Thank you for the privilege of your time.
Bye-bye. Bye.